This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back. I am so excited. Today, we have somebody pretty inspirational. She's very exciting. Aruna Krishnan is a strategy consultant, best-selling author, and podcast host. Her Busy Mind book series and podcast, Lead That Thing, cover leadership topics and competencies. Her company, Optum LLC, work with small business owners to define business and product strategies that increase their revenues and growth. She also has 15 plus years of experience in the technology field and leads projects in large corporations to define, design, and deliver high quality products for their customers. Aruna's main mission in life is to lift up people by helping them find themselves, happiness, and success by educating and encouraging them through content, stories, and inspiration. That sounds pretty awesome to me. Aruna, that is such a cool mission. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, JM.
It's truly my pleasure. I mean, I was very fortunate to meet you and I had a chance to be on your podcast. You are very accomplished. You've done some pretty cool things. So you just knew growing up you were going to go write books and be a podcast host. That's what you knew you were going to do?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think I really came to find myself mostly in the last 5 years. Like, it's so funny that you bring that up. I was a completely different person growing up. Very reserved, very hesitant about going and doing stuff, and maybe not necessarily confident. I've totally come out of my shell, and I know that's why you wanted to have me on my show. So definitely would love to share some of my story with you as we go forward.
Well, I'd love to hear it. Was there a specific moment you referenced 5 years ago, or was there a moment where you're like, you know what? I did find what I want to do. I know exactly who I am. I'm comfortable in my skin. Was there a moment that happened, or was this something that you progressed into?
Yeah, I would say there were a couple of moments. The first moment, I would say I go back about 10 years, was where I had more of a spiritual transformation. It started right there, because my life prior to that was more about finding approval from other people, and, you know, depending on other people for their validation. And it wasn't like so much about my own confidence and defining my own happiness in my own terms. So that really held me back. And it was a dependency on people, and whether it be even family for that matter, for their approval. It was just a way of maybe growing up without even realizing that that was happening, but that was happening. Where then I ended up having this moment where I felt like, okay, spiritually, I wanted to redefine myself, and did a search on that front, and ended up coming out more on the mindfulness side. And that's what gave me happiness. And it helped me eliminate, for one, I had a lot of baggage that was holding me back. It helped me eliminate that, and then also start to search within myself to figure out, okay, what brings me happiness? And then how do I deal with people? And I guess some of the key lessons that came out, which I was missing when I was younger, was like, it's really not about what people do to you. It's about how do you react to it. And that was just so groundbreaking and so liberating when you know that you are actually in control of your life and you can take it forward how you like. And when you kind of get rid of that need for approval, you're limitless at that point, right? So it started with that, where I think I hit like level one of, okay, here's my transformation. And then the level two was, I would say I was training for this triathlon. So in my 40s, I decided I'm going to go do athletics, even though I'd never done athletics prior to that. So it was like, okay, yeah, Aruna has found herself. So she's going to try all these different things because she's comfortable doing that. And then I was working with this trainer, and I didn't really know how to swim. I could probably survive in a pool. You know, it was just very ugly looking swimming. I was swim like a frog maybe. But then I trained for a triathlon. He actually taught me how to swim. And I remember the day that I crossed that finish line. I just had this moment of realization that, oh my goodness, look at what I just did. Like, I started from zero and I got myself here. And it was probably a realization that I needed all my life, that look, if you set your mind to something, you can actually do it. And I think that was my motto going forward. Like, don't ever doubt yourself, because I think I struggled with imposter syndrome for way too long and it held me back so much. So those were the two moments.
Well, so you mentioned mindfulness and you mentioned a spiritual journey, two of my favorite things to talk about. So I'm curious, what was that spiritual journey like? Did it involve meditation? You talked about really searching within to find yourself. What can you tell us a little bit more of what that looked like for you?
Yeah, definitely. I love to talk about this. So because my daughter will actually relate back to me. So this was 10 years ago, and my daughter was maybe 6 years old at that time. And when I decided I need to search for this happiness, because I was actually at a very low point in my life, the way I went about it is I went to the library because I knew it had to be a spiritual answer. And I would go with my kids to the library, and I would always go to the spiritual section. So they're like, oh, mom's going to the spiritual section. They just knew it. And I picked up a book on, so by birth, I am a Hindu. So I picked up a book on Hinduism. I picked up a book on Christianity, a book on Buddhism, Islam, Sikhism, you name it. I think definitely I covered all five. And interestingly, as I read all of them, there was one thing that jumped out from each of those texts, and it was, it all comes down to you and your thoughts and like how you behave, which was so amazing. I mean, I always knew that, you know, like all paths converge, but just to read it in text, that was just so amazing. But the one I really felt that I could implement without like too much effort was more on the mindfulness side, because there are certain practical applications to help train your mind that way. And I did start with the meditation, like for definitely the first year and a half, like as I had mentioned, I needed to do a lot of cleansing and baggage, letting go of baggage. So I needed that structure initially for like the first year and a half. And I did see like results within the first, let's just say a month, in how I started to, you know, interact with people, whether it was my husband or my kids or even my coworkers. It wasn't this immediate need to react, right? It was like, okay, I can kind of watch this, almost like step away from yourself, be that you can see yourself watching yourself in the situation and think before you actually react. So that was pretty amazing. So I knew I was on the right path. And that's what I wanted, because then that was what was making me happy. And I followed that path, and I was able to let go of a lot of things that I had been hanging on to, which was great. And then now, the form of mindfulness that I practice now is more of like, you know, more simple things, like whether it's, you know, walking and just being aware of the surroundings, and or even if I work out, it's like you're in that moment. It's really about being in that moment, not necessarily 20 minutes of meditation structure. But there's so many ways to get to that same sort of mindset.
I'm curious, because I haven't had a chance to read your books yet, but the Busy Mind book series, I have to imagine we're talking about some of this stuff where there's a lot going on up here. What are we staying present? Are we staying mindful? And there's a lot to that. Is that what I should understand? Help other people know what Busy Mind book series is all about.
Yeah. So the first book, which is Stop, Wait, Go, was 100% based on my mindfulness transformation. So basically in that book, because this is the way I processed it, is when you're faced with a situation, it's always good to take that time to process it instead of reacting. So when I realized how many situations I did that, I was able to summarize it. And it just came to me that it's almost like a traffic light, right? You have the stop, you have the wait, and you have the goal. So the stop is equivalent to, the book is really draws this transfer analogy between traffic lights and our mind, right? So if you have a busy intersection and you don't have traffic lights, what are you going to have? Total and utter chaos. So imagine your mind, which is obviously can be a busy intersection. How many things do you have to think about? So many, right? You need to have traffic lights so that you can regulate the movement of those thoughts, right? And if it's an angry thought, okay, stop that thought and say, okay, what do I need to do? How am I feeling? Am I going to be in a position to react to this rationally? And what is causing this anger? Is it something someone else did? Did I do something to upset this person? You know, assess the situation instead of, oh, I'm just mad at this person and I'm just going to react. And then the wait is, all right, so have I analyzed all these questions that I've asked? Do I have the right answers? And then when you feel like you've done justice to your analysis, the green is go. And you can be guaranteed that when you go, you're doing it with the right mindset and the right intention. So that's what I wrote that based on. It was truly based on my journey.
That's pretty cool. I've never thought of the analogy with the red, yellow, and green and doing it that way. But something you've said over and over is basically respond, not react. And that's been my journey, certainly with meditation. It's why it's so prevalent in my life today. So you have a new book coming out as well that's, I don't know the exact date, maybe you can hear, but Lead That Thing on Leadership. What's that all about? That's exciting.
Yeah, that is. So it is interesting. I'm kind of like joking about it. I'm thinking of putting a post about it. Is what came first? Was it the book or the podcast? Because it was funny. I was doing research for my book and I was interviewing leaders. And when I started to transcribe the notes and listen back to the audio, I said, hey, this would make a great podcast, such great information from leaders in the area. So that's what actually launched my podcast. But at that time, I didn't have a title for my book. And then I'm to the point where I've just like designed the cover for my book and it's at the editor. It's pretty much will be released probably by end of October is what I'm thinking. But I've named it Lead That Thing because it seems very fitting. And what makes my book unique is that I wanted to take a very approachable, you know, more relatable approach to leadership, right? With all my books, there's an analogy element to it. So the first one was an analogy to traffic lights. The second one was, which was on problem solving, was an analogy to how I solved the Rubik's Cube and how I applied that process to all many different type of problems. Now, the third one, I look at leadership at animals, in animals. So the three animals I selected to deep dive into were the wolf, the cheetah, and the giraffe, right? And talk about some of their leadership skills and then translate that back to how we as leaders at work or in communities can apply some of those same principles. Those are natural leaders by definition, right? So that's one section of my book, and then kind of taking that back with the leadership interviews that I did to, you know, learn from people who have been through that journey and some of the challenges that they faced and some of the advice that they provide. And really, I have a survey in there on like, how can you be a good leader? Assess yourself, right? We all need to self-reflect, right? We can fall into a role and then lose track of what we're doing because we're just so day to day. So take that survey and look at like, where are you on the survey and are you doing the right thing? So are you ready to be a better leader? Are you ready to do a leader? So that's what the third book is about.
Ah, it's cool. So if you were to boil down leadership and some of the attributes that you really found, whether that's with the wolf, the cheetah, the giraffe, or just the leaders you've interviewed, what are they? What are the attributes that you, when you define leadership, you're like, this is what leadership is all about?
Yeah, I would say definitely someone who, when people talk to me and they say that I want my team to be successful, that is number one. That is a sign of a leader to me. It's not about myself or my ego. It's about how do I help other people be successful? You know, that's how I see a leader. And the, and yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's obviously a lot of traits for you to get that way, right? You need to have empathy and you need to be able to relate to people and, you know, build those relationships. And that goes along with being able to ultimately do that.
So I want to go back because you said you never did athletics, but then you've run a marathon, you finish a marathon, you've done a triathlon, and you talked about the imposter syndrome. That's a pretty big leap because if I've never done athletics and now all of a sudden I do a triathlon, you got to be feeling a little bit like an imposter. Like, I'm not an athlete. I didn't grow up doing this stuff. Do you have a process for overcoming that? Or is that just something you've learned to say, I'm going to do it because I'm just curious?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about setting your expectations, right? I'm like, when I signed up to do the marathon or the triathlon, it's like, okay, I just want to finish, right? I'm not trying to be like get a medal because that's not realistic. So it's about also setting those expectations correctly. And there's plans in place and there's people that you can talk to and say, yeah, I'm going to follow this plan and I'm going to do my best and I'm going to evaluate as I go along, right? Because let's say I was training for the marathon and if I got to 13 miles an hour, yeah, this is not happening, or my body's saying no, I'm not going to go further down that path. But if I'm feeling good, yeah, I'm going to keep going. So it's about take it a day at a time and set your expectations right. Like if I had said, even from a time perspective, they tell you in your first marathon, don't worry about time, just try to finish. And that's a great advice because finishing in itself is quite an accomplishment and you should be happy with that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I certainly haven't done a triathlon. That doesn't sound like fun to me, but it is really remarkable you've done it. So anybody that's done what you've done, you've written these books, you've done a podcast, you've literally trained to do and finish a triathlon, you had to have failed somewhere along the line that you dealt with failure. Do you have a system if failure comes along? Do you look at it a certain way? Do you have a process that you deal with to overcome it?
Yeah, so a failure is an interesting word. And I think with maturity and with time, I don't see failure as an end-all be-all. And in fact, I treat failure as a next, like I would say, not to sound too cliche, but it's just a next step to success. So even let's say, take my IT world, right? It's you have a project, you try something out. If it doesn't work out, then you iterate and you try to make it better the next time. So I would apply the same rules to my life. Like even say as a parent, like you do something with your kids. If something's not working, then you adjust your approach. So pretty much try to apply that across my life or even like with the athletics. Yeah, let's say with my marathon, it took me much longer to finish than I really cared to do. But then if I were to do that ever again, maybe I would try something different. Maybe I would improve my training approach, right? There's always things you can do. So yeah, I don't treat failure as failure. I just see it as an opportunity. What can I do better the next time?
That's cool. And it's going to lead me right into when you experience fear. So I'm thinking as a 40-year-old, I'm going to start doing a triathlon. There's got to be some anxious moments here. Like, this doesn't sound like I'm just going to go walk down to the store a mile away. Like, we're committing to a pretty big deal here. Mm-hmm. What do you do when that fear comes? How do you overcome it when, again, that imposter syndrome pops up, do you have a process? Do you meditate? Do you write stuff down? How do you overcome that fear when it tries to grab you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think of myself as, and I think I am, an analyst at heart, right? So anytime I try to take something on, it's I try to plan it. You know, I write it down and say, okay, this is how I'm going to approach it. So when I have it on paper, it feels like it's something tangible. It gets out of my head, and it's like, okay, we're gonna work on this one piece at a time, so it doesn't feel so overwhelming. Sometimes it's when you think of something holistically and you haven't broken it down into pieces that you can actually work on, it feels much more intimidating. So even I'll tell you, related back to where I used to have the most imposter syndrome, is when I start a new position and it's like, oh my gosh, am I going to be successful? Or are they going to be like, oh my gosh, why did they hire me? Like, and I know a lot of people go through that. Even the leaders that I interviewed, they always felt like they got in, they're like, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. But you take it a day at a time and trust yourself, right? Because you know you've been successful for how many years have I worked in this industry? And I've always been, you know, I've always got praise. I always come through on the other side. Yes, I might have some anxiety. I might have some butterflies. But force yourself to, you know, get in there, learn the work, learn the people. It's really about calming yourself down and taking it day at a time. And I think definitely mindfulness has helped in that way, where you know when to just calm and give yourself that space.
Well, it's pretty clear why you're able to do the books, because she doesn't look at the whole book. It's like, I'm going to take this one page at a time, and then the next page I can only.
Exactly. You know, the biggest fear that I had was, so I did jump out of a plane, right? Like, talk about fear. I remember, so there was like, you know, I am a daredevil and I wanted to do that. And I wanted to do that on my birthday. I did that on my birthday. And then all of a sudden, like a week before it, I'm like, oh my gosh, what if something happens? But obviously you don't want to think about something negative. You're like, well, let's think about this. This place has a good track record and, you know, they're trained to do this. And what are the chances of things going wrong? And, you know, you just have to calm yourself down. But I have to say, I made sure I was really good to my kids and my husband that week. So if anything were to happen, they would remember me in a very good light.
So you had karma on your side, but we have the analytical risk taker. It's pretty complex, Aruna. You're not just, you know, everyday person walking down the street. I have to ask it because it's one of my favorite questions. What does the word freedom mean to you?
Living your life the way you want it. And I could have thrown an adjective in there, but but just doing whatever the heck you want, that is freedom. And just not caring, and but just knowing like whatever you do is with good intent and you're going to do it no matter what. That is freedom.
And was that culturally, was that something as a family that you were taught that you just, hey, I'm going to go, you go follow your dreams no matter what? Was that something that your parents had taught you, or did you discover that on your own in your spiritual journey?
Yeah, the latter, definitely, because I was much more, I think I went growing up, it was much more of a traditional family, and it's, yeah. So I'll say it was with my spiritual transformation that actually made me who I am today, and having that attitude towards freedom, definitely.
Well, I think that's important for people to realize, is that we do grow and evolve as people, no matter how we were taught or how we were as kids, that we change. And I hate to keep going back to it when you said 40, but a lot of people are like, I'm 40. I'm not going to change. And you're like, no, I'm going to absolutely embrace my change. Like, this is what I'm all about. I love it.
Right.
So what is next for you as you're doing these books and these podcasts? You got another book coming out. You have this really cool mission. So What does that look like down the road? I'm just really curious to look down Aruna's future. And I know we stay present, so I'm staying present with you. But if we were to glimpse down the road, what does that look like for you?
Well, I hope like with everything that I do, there's an element of I'm able to help people, whatever that looks like. So whether it be through my podcast, whether it be through my books, and there's another project that might be coming my way into like promoting young entrepreneurs and rewarding them and seeking out those things, but really basically uplifting people and just, you know, encouraging people to be their best selves. So I think that's really what makes me happy. And that's really where I see myself too. And even if I'm working, like right now I'm at a client and I'm working with my team, it's about how can I set up this team for success? Or if there's anybody that needs my help, how can I set them up for to rise up? You know, those are the opportunities that I keep looking for as a leader.
And as a leader, because it seems like you've done some pretty remarkable things, do you just recognize opportunities better than most, or do you create your own luck? Because again, you've done some pretty cool stuff. I think other people want to go, I want to do that too. So is that just something you're creating, or you recognizing a little bit of both?
I think it's my need to be challenged and stimulated. So if there's something I feel like I want to do, I just go for it. You know, obviously there's a little bit of assessment up front, like, does this make sense? And what does it take to do it? And then once I'm decided, then there's usually no stopping. So I think I've done a lot of things that if you even just look at me, I'm an Indian woman in my 40s. The things I've done are not very typical to that, you know, demographic. And I think that's because I just kind of carved my own path, and I'm okay with not having to stick to any kind of predefined social norms. I just do what makes me happy. And I guess I'm adventurous. I'm a daredevil, right? And I'm not afraid of failure. I think that's the big thing there.
That's cool. So again, I just have to imagine, if there is a stigma, like you're not supposed to do these things, and maybe you're not getting supported all the way through, how do you do that? Do you have just, is it the support system at home with your husband and the kids, or is it you just are so confident in yourself that it doesn't matter what the outside world says, I'm doing it for me?
Definitely the second one. I had to let go of all the stuff. I think even with that spiritual transformation, letting go of what are people going to think of me, it doesn't matter. And then I realized if I'm so happy doing what I'm doing. And I've noticed that when people see you doing what you're doing and it makes you happy and you start getting accomplished, they start to respect you for that. And then, you know, they don't get in your way, which is great. And I have to give credit for my husband. He has been a very supportive husband, and I'm very lucky for that. And he's always very proud of me with everything that I do. He's one of my biggest cheerleaders, which is really cool. And that's all I really need.
Oh, it is cool. So if I'm wanting to go on the same transformation, and I'm like, man, I love Aruna's story, I want to be a part of that. Are there certain books that you recommend or resources that you're like, man, this led me to this? Is there, because I'm a huge reader. It's one of my favorite things. Any listener knows I talk about books relentlessly. But was it a book you read that led you to that? What are some places that they could find for their own journey?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting question. I think, obviously, every transformation is an individualistic transformation. For me specifically, I landed on mindfulness. So you can read some books, and I like certain books. I can't remember specifically titles, but I read books by the monk Thich Nhat Hanh. And they're very easy books to read because he'll give you nice little examples on, you know, how to do certain things and how to meditate or how to approach things like that. So reading some of his books led me more to that path of, okay, yeah, there is kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. So those were kind of calming books to me. And I started with that, and then it was more about experimentation and adapting some of that in my own life. It wasn't so much that I read a book, but I would say the starting point was, you know, to get that inspiration.
That's cool. And do you still meditate or yoga or maybe a little bit of both? Is that a part of your everyday practice?
I think my form of meditation is, you know, when I work out or, you know, play some music or listen to music. So there's different forms of that. And I would say like even practicing it when I'm dealt with situations, tough situations is, yeah, definitely recognizing. Because I think one thing with meditation and mindfulness, it teaches you a lot more about your body. So it helps you to recognize when you're not feeling good and helps you to recognize when to step away. So it's, you know, putting those things in practice, those are the type of forms of helping you get better.
So one of your main missions is really inspiration. What inspires you to do all these amazing things?
I think it's just my attitude in life. And I really recognize the fact that life is short, right? I mean, if you think about it, I have kids that are 19 and 16, and one is in college. And, you know, I'm so glad that I took the time to enjoy them, but I recognize that life is short. So live every day to the fullest. And whether it's if your kids are at home, I have a daughter at home, is I have to enjoy every moment with her, even whether for a 16-year-old that can be good days, that can be bad days. You know, let's be honest about that. But I'm so happy I have this time with her, because at some point she's going to, you know, move out, and, you know, the relationship is going to be different. So you got to do things while your body is willing and able, you know, because you never know when you won't have that opportunity to do that anymore.
Yeah, it is amazing how our kids remind us of that, how quickly life is changing and how fast they grow up. I can't.
Right.
I'm dealing with a 14-year-old now. And when I say dealing with, I love every moment. But, right, you know, wink, wink, you know, the hormones are here. So,
right.
what should I ask you that I didn't know enough to ask?
Well,
or maybe what do you want to leave the audience with where you're like, I have to tell them this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if it goes hand in hand with my mission, is if you've been thinking about doing something, but you just haven't been sure, or you haven't been confident, or like, I get this a lot when I talk to people about, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about writing a book. I have ideas for 4 books in my head. Well, just do it, right? Make a plan and just do it, because there are so many resources out there that will help you do it. I know it seems like something that you can't achieve. Like, a lot of times you feel like, oh, only certain people write books. But if you have these ideas in your head, put them down on paper and just try it. And like I said, break it down into steps. Like, okay, what does this book look like? Break it down and take it a step at a time, a chapter at a time. Like you kind of mentioned earlier, you must have read my mind, but you said, I take it a page at a time. For me, it was like a chapter every Sunday, and that's how I did it. And then, of course, then as it all comes together, then you go through your whole editing process and whatever. But if there's something that you want to do, you haven't done, just do it. Don't worry about anything else, you know, just plan it out and do it.
I love it. It's definitely, Nike got it right when they said, just do
right.
It. Wait, just act, right? How can our listeners connect with you online?
Yeah. So you can reach me at LinkedIn, Aruna Krishnan on LinkedIn. I also have a LinkedIn page for my podcast, which is Lead That Thing. And you can also find me on Facebook, my podcast page on Facebook or Instagram at Lead That Thing.
Awesome. Well, you guys check her out. She's doing so many amazing things. Aruna, I just appreciate your spirit, who you are, what you bring to the table. You continue to inspire other people, and you certainly have done that for me. So thank you so much for doing that and being here today.
This was such a pleasure, JM. Thanks so much for sharing my story.
Truly my pleasure. All right, you guys, until next week, go ahead and go over to Let's Go Win. Check out the Positive Work-Life Balance Assessment Worksheet. That's free to you. Check it out. I think you'll get a lot of positive things that you can do, and do a lot of the things like Aruna did to accomplish whatever you're looking for. Get your life in balance, and it's all free to you on the website. Until next time, continue to transcend in life. Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to transcendinlifepodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, JM Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.